Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for this place. Lord, it's kind of hard to find words to say thank you. It's kind of like just being home. Feels like the place we should be. It's a place we're commanded to be, but it's just the place we know we should be. Thank you that it's a hospital that we come to when we're ill. It's a place we find refuge, a place to find love, a place to find correction. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our lives so that we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I will preach to you a sermon that I've entitled Fit for the Battle. I'm sorry. When you hear your son sing a song like that and you know he means it, it just... Well, praise the Lord. Tonight, I preach a sermon to you entitled In the Battle. In the Battle. This morning I preached a sermon entitled Fit for the Battle. Tonight I preach a continuation of this morning's sermon. Now, let me tell you right this second, you did not have to be here this morning to understand what will take place tonight. I will bring you up to date. You will understand perfectly what's happening. Tonight, I'll teach you what to do if you don't live what I taught you this morning. Tonight, I'll help you just in case you don't help yourself by obeying this morning's truth. I would recommend that you get the CD from this morning. But let me review very quickly what I said to our folks this morning. We are in a spiritual warfare. The battleground in this warfare is our mind. Satan wants to enter you through your mind. So this war that we're in is all about your mind, and Satan would like to get into your mind. That's where the battle takes place. Now, one of Satan's techniques is to keep good out of your mind. Why? If he can keep the good out of your mind, then that leaves a vacancy for him to move in to your mind. But he cannot enter your mind without your permission. He has a very strong ability to approach your mind, but you hold the key to the front door of your mind. He cannot get in without you granting him permission. Now, he has this strong ability to approach your mind. Why? Because he is the prince of the power of the air. But, as we learned this morning, you can prevent him from entering your mind. The Bible says that you can resist him. You can make him flee. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, I taught you this. There are two ways of preventing him from entering your mind. The first way is you walk guard around what you hear and what you see. Walk guard around what you hear and what you see. Your eyes and your ears are the doors that lead into your mind. When you look at wrong or listen to wrong, then you have opened the door of your mind to where Satan may enter your mind. So, if you don't want him in your mind, you must protect the gate that leads in your mind called your ears, and the gate that leads into your mind called your eyes. Secondly, you must keep your mind full of good. When your mind is full of good, there is no room for evil. When your mind is full of love, there is no room for hate. When your mind is full of satisfaction, there is no room for covetousness. When your mind is full of love and pure love for your wife, there's no room for lust for some other woman. When your mind is full of Jesus Christ, there's no room for Satan. So the two things that I can do to keep him or prevent him from entering my mind is guarding my eyes, guarding my ears, filling my mind with good. Now, if you missed a sermon this morning, that was it. And I wish you'd get it, and I wish you'd listen to it. There's some people you need to listen to it over and over and over again. Now, you say, but Brother Owens, what do I do if on a given occasion I do not guard my eyes, and I do not guard my ears, and I have given Satan entrance into my mind? You say, am I doomed? Am I doomed to commit the act that he will prompt me to commit? Am I doomed to failure? Have I lost the battle? Now listen, if you don't obey this morning's sermon and you invite him into the battlefield of your mind, you can still have victory. But it's a bloodier warfare. It's a tougher battle. So I beg of you, don't let him in your mind. I counsel with person after person that they don't obey what I preach this morning. Satan enters their mind and they go through these mental battles constantly where it's a war, an out and out bloody war, trying to conquer the devil that's in their thinking. Let's let Jesus teach us how to get rid of Satan. Now, we read Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, just a moment ago. Let me remind you of what's happening here. Jesus was being tempted of the devil. Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and nights. Satan comes to Jesus Christ and he tempts him. He says, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. Here's what Jesus does. Jesus speaks to the devil. He then quotes some scripture to the devil. He says, as it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Tucked in that little passage of scripture, Jesus experiences victory, and they move on. What do they move on to? Satan comes back at him, but evidently, Jesus won the victory because Satan leaves his first temptation, and he says, I got to try something else on this person. Okay, then what happens? Satan comes back at Jesus. He tempts him. He tries to get Jesus to cast himself off of a high pinnacle, saying, your angels will protect you. In essence, he's trying to get Jesus to attempt suicide, if you will. Now, what does Jesus do? Now, Satan has approached him. Satan has tempted him again. And what does Jesus do? Jesus speaks to him. And then he quotes some scripture to Satan, and he says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." What happens? Evidently, Jesus has victory. And Satan says, "Got to try something else." That didn't work. Then Satan comes back at Jesus a third time. And Satan the third time says, he shows Jesus all the beauty of the world. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, I'm the prince of the power of the air. And if you'll bow down and worship me, everything you see will be yours." Now what does Jesus do? Jesus speaks to the devil by name. He quotes some scripture. He says, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And again, Jesus experiences victory. The Bible says in Matthew 4:11, "Then the devil leaveth him." Uh-oh, that's what we were looking for. How do we get rid of him? How can we shoo him off? How can we get him away from us? Evidently, tucked into Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, is Jesus training us on how to get rid of the devil so he can't control our minds. Now, if you've allowed Satan into your mind, let's say you don't do what I taught you this morning by shutting him out of your mind so he never gets in. You say, "Brother Owens, I let him in." And so you know, every one of us have our moments when we let him in. Everybody here does. But if you have had that moment and he has entered your mind, I believe Jesus teaches us here how to get Satan on the run, how to get him away from us. Now let me tell you this. Don't delay what I'm about to teach you. If you have opened your mind for a moment to Satan, he somehow has entered in. You must then go to stage 2 of your battle plan. You must act quickly. Now, you let him in, but it's time to quickly chase him out. You see, the sooner you get him off the battlefield of your mind, the less bloody the battle. The less he is to have a stronghold in your mind. The longer you leave what he put in your mind, the longer you leave it there, the more rooted it becomes. I heard a man say this. "You may not stop a bird from landing on your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest there." There may be times when Satan gets to us and enters our mind, but the moment you notice him there, you need to do all you can to launch an attack and drive him out of the door of your mind, shut the gate, and put up the boundary and say, "You're not coming back in." Now the reason so many of you struggle is because you war with him in your mind. Don't let him in there. But if you do, there's a way out of this thing, and Jesus is teaching it to us here in Matthew chapter 4. Listen to me as I show you what Jesus did. First of all, in this story, Jesus spake out loud to the devil. He spoke to him. Folks, get this in your head. The devil's real. He's real. This isn't a fairy tale. And he's not this person with a red suit on and horns and a big long tail with a pitchfork. That's not the devil. He is far, far worse than your mind could perceive. Hollywood does not depict him properly. He is very capable. He is shrewd. He is attractive. He is intelligent. Boy, he's got it all, and I'm telling you, he's a real person. And the Bible teaches that when Jesus wanted to get rid of him, Jesus spoke to him. He spoke to him, and I believe Jesus could hear what Jesus was saying, and I think the devil could hear what Jesus was saying. From all indications, from this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus speaks out loud to the devil. Why? He knows the devil has come at him. Now, when you know the devil's come at you with temptation, and the devil's come at you, and he's trying to get you down, when you go to do what needs to be done, speak out loud. You take, for instance, if you go to the story in Mark chapter 4, there was a maniac called the maniac of Gadara. And the Bible teaches that there was a demon inside him. When Jesus goes to cast out that demon, he speaks out loud to the demon. What's he doing? He won't get that demon's attention. I'm going to say to that demon, "I know who you are." Now, so number one, speak out loud. Number two, Jesus called Satan by name.
Matthew 4:10, the Bible says this, "Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan." Jesus addressed his enemy out loud. Jesus believed the devil was real. And he called the devil by name. You want to call him Satan or Lucifer or the devil? You let him know that you know who he is. You let him know that he's real. You let him know that you know it is Satan that's trying to get into your mind. It is Satan that's trying to get you down. So, Jesus spake out loud. Jesus called him by name. It's kind of like you get his attention. You let him know, hey, Satan. Hey, Satan. Number three, Jesus told Satan to get away from him. Jesus told Satan out loud, by name, leave me. Listen, Matthew 4:10, we read it earlier. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Out loud, Jesus said, I know who you are. I know what you're doing. Get away from me. Now, too many of you let the devil run wild and do what he wants. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us so. And when Jesus came down to conquering the temptation of Satan, Jesus said, hey, Satan, knock it off. Get away from me. You're not welcome here. Hey, Satan, you're not welcome around the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. We know who you are. We know what you're up to. We know you'd like to create disunity in this church. We know you'd like to ruin this church. We know that. We know who you are. We've got your number. We're not blind to you. We're not dumb to you. You see, Jesus said, get me hence. What was he saying? Beat it. Vamoose. Exit. Get out of my mind. Get out of my face, Satan. Leave me. You're not welcome here. I want you out. Hit the door, Jack. Don't come back no more. No more. Don't come back no more. I know all the great hymns of the faith. I coached soccer for many, many years. I think we figured up something like 54 different soccer teams I coached. Well, I was coaching soccer in Elkhart, Indiana. And when I coach, I sweat as much as the players do. I stand up and I get to moving around and I'm turning around. And my gut sore at the end of the night. I didn't have to run an inch because I'm just tense. Everything I do, I throw myself into it. Well, we had this official that was coaching that night, and he was a big roly-poly guy. Usually, you have a couple officials to take care of both ends of the field. We only had one. This official was standing at the center line, and he kept on calling offsides on my team. Now, an offsides call, those of you that know soccer, an offsides call can be a very close call. Well, this guy was standing center field and all the way downfield, 40 yards, he was able to call all sides. And it was starting to get to me as a coach. Because I'm down there watching, and he's in, all sides. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. That wasn't all sides. Come on down here, fat man. You got to move. You got to come down here where the action's at. I mean, we got the Pillsbury Doughboy with a black and white striped shirt on, and he's not budging from center line. But he's calling all sides down there. And I'm trying to be a good boy. I try so hard. One reason why when we have all the athletic events and things around here, I don't participate is because when I play sports, I go for blood. I mean, I like to win. And so to behave myself, I sit on the sidelines, and I think all the nasty things instead of being out there on the field doing them. But boy, there I was coaching. This guy calls all sides about 3 or 4 times, and it's starting to get to me. And I begin to lose track of who I am, what I am, and how I'm supposed to behave. That ever happened to you? I'm in it, and I'm seeing blood. Next thing you know, this official, he calls all sides again, and I don't know how it happened, where it came from. He blows that whistle, calls all sides. I run out in the middle of the field, and I say, what in the world is wrong with you? That was not all sides. Maybe if you would move a little bit, you could see to make a decent call. Move! with him. Soccer officials carry little cards in their pocket. These are not greeting cards from Hallmark. There's yellow ones and red ones. They're very beautiful. I've seen them before. A yellow card means get off the field. He pulls out this yellow card. Here I am, you know, one of the big shot assistant pastors of the world's largest Sunday school coaching soccer. And there's a great big crowd of people. He pulls out this yellow card and he says, "Coach, off the field." He takes that yellow card. Well, here's what was happening. The boys were still playing soccer. As they were still playing, they didn't realize he had blown the whistle. And this guy, he's right at center field. Never did move much. He's right at center field. Got a whistle in his mouth. Got his hands on his hips. About like that. He's throwing me off the field. The boys are still playing soccer. And he's humiliating me, throwing me off the field because of my gracious comment, helping him to succeed. One of the boys kicked the ball. It went way up in the air, and I've never seen anything like it before. This guy's blowing the whistle. The ball comes down and hits the official right on top of the head while he's throwing me out of the game. And I said, "Hey, fat man, was that ball close enough for you to make a decent call?" He reached into his pocket for another greeting card. This one was red. He said, "Coach Owens, off the field, off the property, now!" And I remember leaving the soccer field, walking through the church parking lot, off the church property, across the highway to a Catholic graveyard across the street. I got thrown off the field, and he meant it. And you need to start throwing Satan off the field of your mind. So you say, "What do? Out loud, like Jesus did. You call him by name, and you say, "Get out of here. Leave me alone. You're not welcome in my mind. You're not welcome in my life. You're not welcome in my heart. Get out of here." That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, "Get thee hence, Satan." He spoke out loud. He told Satan, "I know who you are. You're not welcome." Now listen, folks. If it worked for Jesus, I've got a hunch it'll work for me and you. Number four. Jesus, each time he has victory in this time of temptation, Jesus mentions God to Satan. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this, out of the mouth of God, what was happening? Remember, Satan had tempted Jesus to turn some stones into bread. And Jesus mentions God at the time of rebuttal. In Matthew 4:7, Satan tempts Jesus about jumping off this high pinnacle, the possibility of committing suicide. And listen, in Matthew 4:7, Jesus says to Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The third time that Satan comes to tempt Jesus, and he said, "Bow down and worship me." And Jesus talks to him out loud and mentions God. He says, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Jesus knew enough that when Satan was after him to mention whose side Jesus was on. Jesus tells him, basically, in the name of God, "Get away from me." But he throws God in on this thing. Hey, listen. Satan hates the name of Jesus. Hates it. That's why Satan's trying to get people to use Jesus' name as a cuss word and God's name as a cuss word. Why? He hates it. And so when Jesus stands up to Satan, he talks out loud. He calls Satan's number by using his name. He said, "Get away from me." And then he throws God in there and says, "In the name of God, get away from me." There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of God. I did a funeral yesterday afternoon for Victor Wilson Sr. And at the end of the funeral, we went to the cemetery, and he was in the Navy for 4 years, and they had a military honors for him at the funeral. And when the military men were almost done, what they do is they take an American flag, they fold it into a beautiful triangle. Then a representative of the United States government hands that flag to a key member of the family, and it was amazing. You should have heard everyone as he presented that flag to the family. When he came to the point where he said, "I present this flag to you on behalf of the President of the United States," you could almost hear people gasp. Why? Because you respect that position. You respect that title. You respect the President of the United States. Well, let me tell you something. You think you respect the President? How about the President of the universe? How about God? How about the name of Jesus Christ? And I'm telling you, when Satan enters your mind and you feel like he's about to get you down, what you must do, you gotta talk to him. You gotta talk to him out loud. You call his name. You tell him to get out, and you tell him, "You get away from me in the name of God. I belong to Jesus." And that's exactly what Jesus did. Let's go on. Jesus then uses God's word on Satan. Matthew 4:4. This is what Jesus says. It says, Jesus quotes, he says, "It is written." And then he quotes scripture. Matthew 4:7, the second temptation. Jesus says, "It is written." That's when he's talking to Satan. Matthew 4:10, Jesus talks to Satan and he says, "For it is written." Hey, Satan also hates this book. He hates this book. He hates the name of God. He hates the Bible. Look, if you want Satan to get out of town and stay out of town, you throw God's book in, you throw God's name in, and you're going to see Satan begin to turn to run. Now, Jesus then uses Scripture and quotes Scripture. The very first temptation, where he tries to get Jesus to misuse his power, turn the stones into bread, Jesus quotes to Satan out loud, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. What did Jesus do? Get it? He spake. He spake out loud. He called Satan by name. He says, "Satan, get away from me." And he mentions God while he tells Satan to get away. He starts to use the Bible. Then he quotes the scripture. The attempt to get Jesus to commit suicide. "Cast yourself off this pinnacle." Jesus quotes to Satan, Deuteronomy 6:16, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." The third temptation, to turn his back on God, fall down and worship Satan. And he says, "I'll give you all the earth if you'll do that." So what does Jesus do? Jesus quotes a verse to Satan. It's Deuteronomy 6:13. It says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." Listen, Jesus quotes scripture that attacks the area of Satan's attack. Jesus knew the scripture. He quoted a scripture to the enemy that attacked Satan's attack on Jesus. Jesus strategically shoots at Satan with a hand-picked bullet of the Word of God. He uses a piece of ammo on purpose. He said, "You're trying to get me to do wrong? I know what the Bible says about that wrong. Let me tell you what the Bible says about that wrong." And he quotes the verse and shoots at Satan. Says, "Take that, bang, take that, bang, take that, bang. Don't eat it, bang. Here's the Bible, bang. I'm using God, bang. I'm using Jesus, bang. I'm using the Word of God, bang." And Satan says, whoa. "I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want the Word of God. Hey, you've got my number. Hey, the game's up. Hey, you are an overcomer, but you can't fight him with your character. You've got to fight him God's way." If Satan's attack could be compared to an infection, Jesus on purpose picked the correct spiritual antibiotic to fight that infection that was trying to enter him. You gotta have the right serum for the right poison. So you use the scripture strategically. So, let me remind you of what I've said. Jesus spake out loud. Jesus calls him by name. Jesus told him to get away. Jesus mentions God. Jesus uses God's Word and then quotes Scripture strategically. Let me quickly, and on purpose, give you a little ammo lesson. I want to teach you something about ammunition. For instance, if you say, sometimes I let worry enter my mind. Now you remember, you shouldn't let that worry enter your mind. Shouldn't let it in there. It's wrong. Shouldn't be in there. And you worry because your mind is not full of faith. You wouldn't worry if you didn't look at the wrong things. You wouldn't worry if you didn't hear the wrong things. Some of you watch way too much secular news. They got you half freaked out about this world. Hey, let me tell you something about this world. Yeah, it's a mess, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Say, oh, Brother Lawrence, what's going to happen with the economy? I don't know. We've been living on this old globe for a long time. The economy going up and down and up and down and up and down. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's going to be all right. And if you wouldn't fill your head with all that worry through your eyes and through your ears, you wouldn't have that problem. You ought to fill your mind with good and pleasant things. But if worry enters your mind, you do what I'm teaching you, and then you can quote to him Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing. If it is gossip, you could quote Titus 3:2, speak evil of no man. If it is covetousness, you could quote to Satan, 1 Timothy 6:8, let us be content. If it is anxiety, you could quote to Satan, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs. If it is defeat that has entered your mind, you can quote to Satan, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in me. If it is lust, Psalm 19:14, the meditations of my heart. If it is fear, you can quote to him, Psalm 56:4, I will fear not. If it is complaining, you can quote to him, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always. If it is procrastination, you could quote to him Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time. If it is selfishness, you could quote to him Romans 12:10, in honor, preferring one another. If it is revenge, you could quote to him Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If it is lying, you could quote to him Ephesians 4:15, speaking truth in love. If it is temper, you could quote to him Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. If it is depression, you could quote to him John 16:33, be of good cheer. If it is doubt, you could quote to him Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. If it is disappointment, you could quote to him Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good. You listen to me. This book is a book we're to live. We're to use it. It's our weapon. We're to fight him. We're to fight him. We're to fight him. We're to fight him. We're not to give in. It's time for Christians to take back their minds. Take back your mind. You don't have to be as weak as what you claim to be. You don't have to repeat the sin over and over again. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live defeated. You don't have to live depressed. You don't have to live that way. You need to block off your eye gates. Block off your ear gates. You need to protect yourself and fill your mind with good. And on those days when he enters in, go to war. Stand up to him and say, hey, Satan, I know who you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, you get away from me and start piling on a scripture and shooting him with a machine gun. You just give it to him. Keep shooting him. And you know what the Bible says? And he will flee. He will flee. What scares me about the United States of America is this generation loves the freedom that another generation fought to provide for us. Let me tell you something. If you truly want to be free indeed with your mind in Christ Jesus, you will fight a war to achieve that freedom. The battlefield's your mind. It's your mind. Don't let him in your mind. But if you do, I've taught you what you do to get him to flee. Because in Matthew chapter 4, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Exactly. And the Bible says there in verse number 11, Satan left. So he said, I'm out of here. He can go to the church up the road. They're not trying to protect their minds. They're having a rock and roll band. Just open their minds up to just anything. You say, we are very closed-minded. You're right. This, you say, you're narrow-minded. Bible this, the Bible that. Thank you. I'm honored you feel that way about me. If I get to heaven and I get in trouble for being so narrow-minded and basing everything on the Bible, if God wants to stand me in the corner to punish me, I'll be happy about it. I'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. Just took you literally. Just every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, that's all I believe. I don't think it'll turn out that way, though. You don't have to let the devil control your mind. If he's in, you can get him out. If he's not in, you can keep him out. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.